Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. It's Monday afternoon, and we're getting a ride to the train station from our friend Andy. Say hi, Andy.
Hey, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Yes, we're allowed to say that again. Thank you, President Trump, for freeing us from the tyranny of not being allowed to say Merry Christmas. Now we're saying it all the time, and we can't stop. I should be careful, because when we go overseas, people might believe some of the crap that we say, but it's not true. We are getting a ride to the train station. It's yesterday. You're hearing this, obviously, today, Tuesday. And by the end of the show, we hopefully will be in Europe. We'll see how that goes. But right now, it's the first leg of the trip. We're on our way to the train station, the scariest part of the entire journey, the Long Island Railroad.
Yeah, it's really something you have to be mentally and physically up for. You got to be prepared. And yeah, I'm feeling good on this Christmas Day. It's a good way to celebrate travel. You know, heading out, you kind of it's its own. I mean, it's literally a holiday. That's a lot of the world says that. You know, we're going on a holiday.
Oh, that use of the word, yes. Instead of vacation, they use the word holiday. So I guess we are doing that as well, although we never stop working either. So it's kind of a working holiday, I suppose.
Yeah, that's more, better approximation. Sure. Go with that.
Anyway, so Andy, how has your holiday been so far?
Wonderful. Beautiful holiday. Woke up early this morning. My kids are very happy. You know, they're not so much kids anymore. 16 and a 20-year-old. And my wife and I couldn't be happier. It was a beautiful, beautiful Christmas.
You may recall Andy and his son Cole were on our radio show in early May of this year. Amazing musicians, the both of you, and your daughter as well. In fact, you formed a band recently called Tricycle, I believe.
That's right, Tricycle. And we were talking about it this morning, actually. It was last year, Christmas 2016, that we came up with the title of our family trio, Tricycle. And the album, though it's been 5 years in the making, finally came out on December 16th this year. And we're so excited. It's been well received, and it's getting a lot of social media, and we're going to be touring on it for the rest of the year.
Well, let's hear a track from the Tricycle album as we speed towards the train on our way to the plane on our journey to Europe.
Let's take a trip. Let's make a list of everything that we want to see. Let's take a train.
That was a piece from the new Tricycle album. Tricycle, composed of Andrew Fortier, his son Cole, and daughter Andy. And Andrew just gave us a ride to the train, which we're on right now. But it's so cool to be able to make music like that.
Yeah, it's something that's, I guess, a natural resource that we have to appreciate. You know, we have to nurture that, because it, you know, really does affect people. They hear something in it, and you know, there's those commonalities that, you know, everybody can relate with. And yeah, I would listen to that again. We'll have to hear some more of that.
Well, we'll play it loudly on the plane, the whole album. Anyway, so we are on our way to JFK on the LIRR, where we'll be heading over to the 34C3, which is the 34th Chaos Communication Congress, taking place in Leipzig, Germany. And I sure hope I'm pronouncing it properly this time. It starts on Wednesday, the 27th, and we'll be broadcasting live from there on our Wednesday show on the other station. But we haven't been to one of these congresses, one of these German annual congresses, in a while.
Yeah, I've gone through my memories, and I think, gosh, I remember tubes, a lot of vacuum tubes, where people were sending physical objects across the event, big, enormous halls, and really interesting talks. You said you looked at what was ahead a little bit.
I just looked at the first day, and there are all kinds of cool talks on the first day. And the great thing about it is that I know people are, you know, kicking their radios and gnashing their teeth because they can't go, but you can actually stream everything that's happening there, I believe. I'm pretty sure, because that's how it's been the last few years. If you simply go to ccc.de and figure out how to get to the page that has the streams, you can pick any one of the four rooms and watch in full HD, and it's almost like you're there.
Really amazing. Also, they've got translations and just comprehensive everything, all the support and stuff you'd need if you wanted to get the information. We really like to emulate that. We'll do that shortly with Hope, and we really are excited to learn from some of the new things they're trying there, and see if maybe we can bring that to our event, and also share about American hackers and conferences and what everything that's going on and that we've been talking about all year. It'd be interesting to share. You know, I bet people have some great insight.
Well, we're going to be faced with some pointed questions, I'm sure, about what's been going on over here. Well, I guess next week we'll have a report on what that's all about. But I think what's going to be really interesting this year is that, out of necessity, the Congress had to move from Hamburg, which is where it's been the last few years, not because the city asked them to leave, but because the venue there is being renovated and there's no place else to have it. So, for the first time ever, it's being held in the former East German city of Leipzig.
That's not entirely true. I saw some evidence, I'm not sure if it's verified, that there were some foundational events that occurred in the city of Leipzig, or at least promotion of events in local papers and so on, flyers, that sort of thing. So there are remnants of...
It's the first Congress that's being held there.
It's the first time the modern Congress is there, yes.
All right. Well, and you're going to say Leipzig, I'm going to say Leipzig. That's how it's going to work?
Sure.
All right. I guess we'll cover all bases that way. But what's interesting about that, you know, it's been in Berlin, it's been in Hamburg, and those are big cities. And Leipzig is also a city, but it's not nearly as big and as full of people. So I think what's going to happen when you have, 15,000 hackers show up in that city, it's going to change the tone of the place.
Yeah, and I read a little bit about the history, and there's a bit of trading and sort of the marketplace of intersection of various societies there. So they've been they've been in a position of having, you know, outsiders coming in, and so far as the town is concerned, so maybe they'll be drawing upon their ancient knowledge to accommodate all of us. But it's a great town. It's a little bit bleak.
I wouldn't say it's a... I mean, I don't want to put it down, but we were there for one night, and it wasn't exactly great. It was kind of, like you said, a little gray, a little dingy. I'm sure it'll liven up a lot with all these people flooding it, although the actual conference isn't in downtown, but I still think that will be having an effect on the place. I don't know, we'll see. It's going to be different. It's going to be very interesting to see how they adapt. And this is, again, the 34th of these. They take place every year at the exact same time,
it's a great reason to get together in Leipzig and explore more about the town itself alongside this event.
And once we spend some time in Leipzig, we will find out how to pronounce the damn place.
Yeah, I'm really thrilled to be saying it the wrong way.
Well,
it's a leap of faith.
Uh huh. We're going to, of course, be going to other places afterwards and reporting from them as well. In fact, next week is going to be interesting because that's New Year's.
Crazy.
It's going to be crazy because we're actually scheduled to take a train half an hour before New Year's out of Germany. So whatever is going on, it'll be chaotic, and we'll try to record that. But in the meantime, let's resume our journey as we head overseas in a little bit. Well, we made it to the air train. I don't like this train because it doesn't have any people driving it. It's all automated, and they keep like emphasizing that the doors are closing. And you know, I get it already. I've been on trains before, but whatever. It gets us there. I guess it's convenient, and it's the next leg of our journey.
Still counts as a train, though.
It does count as a train, even though there's nobody driving.
Yeah.
So this will take us to our terminal, and. It's funny, whenever you travel, you always allow extra time. So when we had Andrew pick us up, I told him the train was leaving at a certain time, and it was actually 15 minutes before it was leaving. But he got there 15 minutes before he thought he should get there for safety. So we had like an extra half hour. And the same thing with the terminal. We're getting there at least one train early, just in case something happened to the train, because it is an LIRR.
Yeah.
So we're going to be in the terminal for a good few hours.
We'll find something to do. We'll get through security, obviously, taking our time, and maybe get a cup of coffee. And
it's not so obvious at all that we'll get through security, but we'll try.
It'll be interesting, but maybe it'll be smooth.
It has been smooth in the past. I'm always surprised when it is. But, you know, the latest thing is they tell you to take everything out of your pocket. So I'm going to do that in advance, put everything in my bags. Because I don't want all my possessions in those little trays. You know, people look at that. And sometimes I'm carrying things that I'm embarrassed by.
Yeah, yeah. But maybe because it's the holiday, there will be less traffic. And we'll see. We'll see what kind of spirit is at the security lineup.
Well, I'll bet you, and if you want to make it interesting, let's put some money on it. I'll bet you one of the TSA employees will have a Santa hat on.
There's going to be at least one Santa hat. Yeah, no, that's a given.
We're going to come back to this. This is for the record. I'm putting $50 on this. So if there's somebody with a Santa hat, you owe me $50.
That's good money, too. Wow, okay.
And needless to say, if there's two with Santa hats, that's 100.
It's probably the last wager of the year, right? I mean, if you're going to gamble,
yeah,
your best chance.
We are arriving at Federal Circle for hotel shuttles and rental cars. Please take your belongings. This is the Jamaica train, stopping at all airline terminals.
Yeah, I knew that when I got on. We're practically there. I mean, things are pretty close together when you go fast on a train. And this thing goes faster than the LIRR does, and it doesn't have anybody driving. So I guess we'll pick this up from beyond security.
Yes, see what awaits all the other waiting passengers in the terminal.
There will be a bunch, but like you said, less people probably because it's a holiday. You also get better prices because it's a holiday. Nobody wants to travel today.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
This train on track one is a Jamaica train, stopping at all airline terminals. Please stand clear. The doors are closing. Please hold on.
All right, we made it. We made it to the airport. We're here at JFK awaiting boarding. We're actually in a pub waiting boarding.
Yeah. We had a little bit of downtime, so we took advantage of the amenities here at John Fitzgerald Kennedy Airport. And did you notice that security seemed a little lackluster?
Well, no, I don't know if lackluster is a word. Just kind of like they treated us like adults for once. I didn't have to take off my shoes, all right? But no, here's the thing that I don't get. I really don't understand this, right? They make you, like, put things in little containers, right? Like, what, 4-ounce containers?
Each liquid must not exceed 4 ounces, and all those liquids must be in a clear plastic bag.
Okay, I never have had a clear plastic bag, and no one has ever said anything to me about that. But what I did this time, I was in the drugstore yesterday getting conditioner because for some reason I can never find conditioner in Europe. And I said to myself, hey, you know what? Why don't I just get two of these? Because I always run out. So I brought two. So isn't that the equivalent of having an 8-ounce container? And, you know, couldn't I get a big empty plastic jug or something and just pour all these things into it and make whatever it is they're afraid of?
It's a system. It's not a logical system, but it's the way it works. I encountered the same thing with my bag. I was told my bag that I was bringing onto the plane is too big. Then I pulled another bag out of it and started writing the overweight state of my larger bag and produced two bags out of one. And seeing this mitosis of my luggage, the person quickly backed down and said, well, I don't like the shape of it. And then we encouraged him, no, this is a bag I've used before. And then he had to go and check with someone who gave him the okay that I can use the bag. I then promptly stuffed everything back in the same bag. So I got exactly what I set out to get, but I had to walk him through the process. Take him to the river, you know, so he can drink, you know.
And by the way, that guy was wearing a Santa Claus hat. But it doesn't count because the bet was that a TSA employee would be wearing a Santa Claus hat, and they weren't having that. They were all in uniform, so I guess I owe you $50.
Yeah, I don't know where that will land as far as monetary detail, but the point is, yes, gate check was fully costumed. I think we even saw a Dachshund Hound wearing a costume.
That's a dachshund.
Or dachshund, yeah. Not a Dachshund Hound.
You mean a Basset Hound.
Basset Hound?
Is there such a thing as a Dachshund Hound?
Dachshund Hound?
Wow. Okay, listeners, let us know if there's such a thing as a Dachshund Hound.
Okay, that might be a new breed that I just made up.
You can't just make up a new breed.
Okay. It was a
there's
wiener
more to
dog.
It than that.
It was a wiener dog.
Yeah, that's a dachshund.
It was a little short dachshund.
No, you never
it
see...
It is a dachshund.
You never see dachshunds in Germany. Right? And they're wiener dogs, and I don't know. Why is that?
I think I'm pronouncing the hound. I'm sorry, I'm totally ignoring your question.
It's okay. I'm going to ignore you. Hey, we ran into somebody at the airport. This is Bill, who's going to the Congress as well in Germany. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how's it going?
So, you're actually somehow on the same flight as us. We're actually going to Frankfurt, which is nowhere near where the conference is taking place, and then getting a train to Leipzig, and I'm happy you pronounce Leipzig the same way as me.
Yeah, I mean, so we're getting the train, and it's going to be a ICE train, which is the super high-speed kind of bullet train that goes right to the main train station in Leipzig.
Yeah, and it's going to be a good conference. If we're running into people in New York that are going to the conference in Germany, it's going to be a good conference, I think.
Yeah, I've been a few times before, and it's always a great time. We were talking earlier about how we might kind of overrun the town, because there's not too many people in this smaller city. It used to be in Hamburg, and then before that in Berlin, and now it's in Leipzig, and it's kind of a smaller city. It might be overrun by hackers.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun. I think we may actually change the way this town is perceived. But Bill, you're giving a talk at this conference.
Yeah, that's right. I'm talking about crossing the border, which is what I'll be doing soon.
Wow. And listeners, you can actually see Bill's talk. You don't know exactly. It's on the 29th, right?
Yeah, it's on the 29th. I think it's at 6:30 local time. And I'm not, I think it's, I mean, it's on ccc.de somewhere. I think it might be talks.ccc.de, but I'm not exactly sure, so.
It's always fun to figure out where things are on their site, but what's the title?
I was just crossing the border, and I'm talking, co-facilitating the talk with my coworker Kurt Obsahl, from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and yeah, kind of going through the tips and tricks of what it might mean to kind of cross the border with all your data, because so much of our data and our lives are contained in our pockets right now, and, you know, how do we countenance that with, you know, the fact that we're forced to cross borders, or we willingly, but if we want to live a full, enriching life, then we have to kind of cross borders once in a while, and that means that we're at the behest and at the will of border agents. How do we actually kind of make sure that our data and our lives and our personal details are protected in that context?
It's pretty amazing if we ran into somebody from the Electronic Frontier Foundation here at the airport, because there's so much that is relevant to what we talk about. And, yeah, simply crossing the border, people don't know their rights. Do you have to give your password to the customs person if they demand your info? I mean, my way of dealing with it is basically wiping my phone clean, and I have not yet been challenged or told that I have to give them any information. But, you know, I would have a tough time giving any of that up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it depends on the person and the circumstance. You know, if you are ultra-paranoid, then you can take extra steps. If you're semi-paranoid, then you can basically turn off your phone and make sure that you have, you know, full disk encryption, certain steps that you can take to make sure that when you cross the border that your data is protected, and you're just kind of not at the, you know, willy-nilly behest of any particular ornery border agent that you might encounter.
Now, this is just an issue in the United States, but are the same issues brought up in other countries?
Yeah, and I'm not sure about the legal protections. That's not my area of expertise. I'm kind of going to be talking about, and that's what my coworker Kurt will be talking about. I'll be talking about more the technological protections that you can take, the measures that you can make sure that, one, you have encryption on your device, two, your device has the boot process hasn't actually been tampered with, and other things like how do you participate in this kind of process called data minimization, which means that you want to get all your data, you know, maybe into a cloud service or maybe into a server that you control before you cross a border. That way you're not crossing with, you know, your whole life, you know, at your fingertips.
I will be at your talk. It sounds awesome.
Thanks.
And go to events.ccc.de to see the schedule of the conference, which starts tomorrow, Wednesday, and runs through Saturday, as it does every year, the 27th through the 30th. Well, Kyle, I guess the next time we check in with people will be on the plane on our way to Germany.
Oh, yeah, we'll update. We'll have, I'm sure, some adventures piling onto this thing, figuring out what it is, and if they know how to use it. But I have faith. I think
the airplane, if they know how to use the airplane?
Yeah, I'm hoping they know what they're doing. And
me too. Now I'm worried.
Yeah, I'm worried too. We should all be worried.
Well, this is I didn't tell you this before. Singapore Airlines is what we're flying on. We will have flown it already by the time people hear this. But, you know, we never know what we're going to be flying until we figure out what the best deal is. And we're going to Frankfurt, which again is nowhere near Leipzig, but it's part of the journey.
It's definitely, yeah, it's a new one for us. So we'll be looking very carefully at how that goes. And by the time we come back, we should be getting our in-flight meals and maybe they have entertainment systems and. I won't even open the book that I brought.
Well, we'll I'm sure hack something on the plane and have something to comment on. But for now, that's it from the terminal. We'll see you on the airplane. Well, we're on the airplane, and actually we've been on the airplane for a few hours. In fact, we're almost at the point where we're going to land soon.
Yeah, we're almost there. The plane ride's over.
Well, yeah, you didn't miss much. I mean, we were just basically doing this for the last 6 hours or so, and we watched some videos and listened to some music and had some food and things like that. They took good care of us.
Yeah, it went fast. I think the planes with entertainment systems tend to keep you preoccupied if you don't have a good book or something on your own.
We watched Singapore films, which I didn't know existed, but that was kind of interesting, different.
Yeah, I like the selection. Again, when you're using these systems, someone else is picking it, or it's a different market, so it's stuff you wouldn't ordinarily see.
Our friend Bill is a little further up. Not first class, not business class, just a different part of coach. There's like a wall separating us. And this plane also, it's one of the big planes, right?
Yeah, it's an A380. It's one of the biggest planes in the world.
It's funny, when you book a ticket, you never get the option of what kind of plane you want. You just basically get whatever you get.
It's because the route determines it, yeah. And so it's that's very, very much why I was asking, you know, geez, well, what are we even going to be getting on as far as the plane when we were at the airport?
Yeah, well, you know, I think this is my advice to airlines. I think you would get people paying more if you had certain popular airplanes that people want to fly. So if, you know, this particular one, I know you get thrilled whenever we're on one of these, I think people would pay more to be on it, maybe.
Yeah, it would be a different structure, but definitely something worth exploring.
Anyway, so it's weird that Bill basically did the same thing that we did. We booked this ticket to Frankfurt, and then we decided we were going to take a train from Frankfurt to Leipzig. He did the exact same thing. I figured, you know, people would pretty much fly directly into Berlin or some other connection. This is really how you do it. You find a decent price, and then you figure out a way to get to where you really want to go after that decent price. You know, we had a lot of options. We could have flown into Copenhagen for a good price, but we would have been in Copenhagen, and that is pretty far away. It would have taken us almost a full day to get to where we wanted to go, and we would have missed a day of the conference.
Yeah, I think this was a better choice as far as selecting the kinds of terrestrial travel that we invariably have to use, because flying direct is so impractical.
And then, you know, there are also these, you can look this up, you know, if you're trying to book plane tickets, there's always, like, this incredibly long way of doing it, like a 30-hour trip, as opposed to we're doing a 7-hour trip, or really 6.5 hours nonstop. But you'll notice that there are options to get decent prices, but you have to go to all these distant cities, wait sometimes a full day for your next flight, or wait like 8 hours in an airport, which is no fun at all. You get a good price, but it really comes at a cost.
Yeah, and especially during the holidays, when you say you risk running into delays and so on, and to say nothing of the fact that that's the atypical layover, you know, the drudgery, everybody's worst nightmare as far as air travel.
And there's also this other fun way of booking travel where you pay as much as you possibly can for basically the same flight. I've seen the flight that we got, which is a couple hundred bucks, something similar going for like $4,000. And okay, maybe you're sitting in business class, maybe you're not. It was this weirdness in the whole booking system. I can't imagine people paying that much. I can't imagine people spending 30 hours to get from one point to another. It's just the weirdness, and that's why it takes such a long time to book things, because you have to wade through all the nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wade through the nonsense of all the discount travel sites, you know,
yeah.
Which picking which one, you know, to actually do the research. You got to research where you're going to do the research. It's a bit saturated as far as the markets go.
Yes, and then we got to go through train tickets and hotels and things like that, which also involves online booking and little things you have pulled up on your phone to people. I think we're pretty much covered, and I'm looking forward to the conference, which I guess will be tomorrow. It's actually now Tuesday morning, and we'll be landing probably in about an hour, well, less actually, it looks like 45 minutes. I'm looking at the map, and we're just over Belgium, So we'll be over Germany really soon, and then we'll be landing. This really went fast. I guess watching a two-hour Singapore film will do that, but also I was doing work and editing the show, in fact, and other things. And I think we'll do one more segment probably from either the airport that we land in or the train that we hopefully will get on to head towards Leipzig.
What is the day we have? We have a big line today, then, for the conference, the traditional CCC line to get a...
Do we have to wait on line? We have a ticket, though, right? Didn't we?
Don't we have to get wristbands, though?
Yeah, I guess we have to wait on line to get a wristband. But, yeah, sometimes that's the night before.
So that's today.
If we want to do it the night before. I think I'll probably want to sleep, but...
Me too.
And also, it's not quite as close as previous conferences. I think you have to take mass transit to get there.
Right, Bill was saying when we were talking earlier, and that's something we've yet to actually assess.
Probably best to just, check in to where we're staying, get online and see what people are saying and figure it out from there.
Right, and factor it in once we're on the ground there.
I hate turbulence.
Yeah, every now and then it's a little too bouncy.
No, this was really, this plane is a big plane, so when it hits turbulence, it's real turbulence. But there was a good, 20-minute, maybe longer period where we were bouncing all over the place, and they turned the signs on, and, it was, I hate when that happens. That's one of the things I really don't like about flying.
Yeah, because it's so large, the responsiveness or the give and take of... up and down or the jarring sensation just gets magnified, I think, because it's so large.
And we're getting a little bit of that right now, actually, too, because, and I don't know why this is, I'm sure a listener can write in and tell us, but whenever you you cross from water to land and vice versa, you get, and over mountains, you get turbulence. So we're kind of crossing over into the mainland right now, so we're bouncing around a little bit.
Yeah, I think we've passed over the UK, and I think last time I looked at the map, we were well into Germany by now.
I went upstairs in this plane. This plane has an upstairs. In fact, it's funny because we were just having a conversation a couple of days ago where I was wondering where all the planes are that have upstairs, because we never seem to get on them, and here we are on one.
Yeah, we saw a report on the anniversary of the 747, which had the iconic spiral staircase. And, this immediately made us think of our flight on this plane, which has a staircase on each end.
And I went up the staircase, but there was a barrier at the end, so I had to come right back down. But still, don't get to do that every day.
No, good on you for exploring.
Well, I'm kind of crammed in the corner here, so I had to walk around a little bit. And I made the most of that. But, yeah, they really do stuff you into tiny spaces, and that's... When you have a lot of electronics trying to get everything to work and plug in, and it's something. It's good that time goes by. But they took care of us. They gave us candy canes. They gave us, in fact, a whole bag of candy, which was kind of nice.
I don't want my candy cane. Yeah.
Don't forget about that candy cane. It's the only one you're going to see. And what do you got there? Did you get a Twix for it? Wait, what is that?
It's M&M's.
You got M&M's? I didn't get M&M's.
Yeah, two bags. Bill gave me his bags of M&M's.
Now this is turbulence. I don't like this. This is me being terrified right now because we're bouncing all over the place. I guess if you just tell yourself that you're just up in the air and bouncing around like a ping pong ball, it doesn't make it any better. I don't know, how do you reassure yourself of turbulence?
Think rationally. Oh, that man's cushion. Someone's pillow fell.
I'm glad we were able to avert that crisis.
Yeah, well, you think very rationally, I think, about how the plane is designed and try to put yourself at ease insofar as the procedures and piloting that's being done will basically be slowing things down. And
in other words, just assume someone else knows what they're doing. Because I have no clue as to how it all works.
Yeah, they definitely have to slow things down and maneuver a little bit to counter it.
They have really bad turbulence going over the Pacific Ocean. I don't know why that is. Why one ocean would have worse turbulence than another? But the kind of turbulence where people wind up on the ceiling, And I've never experienced... I sort of experienced that, actually, coming back from China once. It wasn't quite that bad. Things did wind up on the ceiling, but not people. But it's...
coming into Midway in Chicago is pretty bad.
Is it?
Yeah, they go out over the water from the lake, and it gets really bouncy every single time, right, when you're going over the water.
So why would you go into Midway? I would avoid Midway like the plague.
Well, not everybody can go to O'Hare. I mean, O'Hare is not exactly the greatest airport in the world.
O'Hare is like an exclusive club that only a certain people can get into?
Well, it's not quite as functional, and not all the discount airlines go there.
Don't choke on that candy cane.
Sorry, it's getting sticky.
No, so people know, Kyle did not ingest an entire candy cane. It's a mini candy cane.
It's a mini candy cane, yeah, one of the little ones.
Yeah, it's the kind you would give to a dog.
Or, wow.
Well, what else? I mean, children demand the full-size candy canes, so I don't know who gets the tiny ones other than us.
Adults who also watch their sugar intake.
Okay.
I'm worried the microphone is going to get sticky if I keep talking any longer.
Well, don't sputter onto it, and you'll be fine.
I have no further comment.
Yeah, these tight quarters are really trying to get to me. They're getting a little testy here. Maybe we should sign off for now and sign back on the ground, or maybe on a train, and bring this program to an end. I remind people to tune in tomorrow because we'll be broadcasting live. Actually, I realize we're 6 hours ahead now, and our other show is on at 8 o'clock at night, so it's actually going to be 2 o'clock in the morning. Not a whole lot's going to be going on probably at that time, but we'll still be talking live. It'll be us talking live. I don't know if the conference will be happening live, and we'll have things to say. And then next week, it'll be New Year's, and we'll be broadcasting something fun, probably as we race towards a train that leaves 20 minutes before midnight. But for now, I think we're going to be landing in just a few minutes. We have to go through customs. I'll speed through with my European passport. You might get interrogated.
Maybe. We'll see.
And then we'll hopefully hop onto a train and take it from there.
You can't even tell we're on a train.
It's so quiet, isn't it?
Listen to that.
Not only is the train quiet, but the people are quiet. In fact, we're making a racket just by talking.
Yeah, we just annoyed everyone in this entire train car because we're loud and obnoxious.
Well, we're not trying to be loud and obnoxious. We're trying to be quiet and subdued. But
we're speaking in a low tone, but right. It's still the most obnoxious thing in this train car.
Only a few hours ago, we were on the Long Island Railroad, where you're encouraged to speak in a loud, obnoxious tone, and people are just upset in general.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got on that train and were on it for less than 5 or 10 minutes. No, less than 3 minutes, and there was some altercation, some person and some terrible state in their life, letting everybody know. I think he was very, fairness, it was Christmas Eve. People do get kind of down.
Christmas Day, actually.
Yeah, Christmas Day, pardon me. People get a little, out of sorts. They don't have family. They get, depressed and so on around the holidays.
That's true. So there's a bit of a commotion, and it wasn't even with anybody else. It was just between one person on the train.
But like clockwork, it was just immediately we're thrust into this, social, crowdsourced social worker situation where we're all party to his personal life. And
well, that's all behind us now. We're in Germany now. We're on the train heading towards Leipzig, and flight was smooth. Everything's been smooth so far. But, one thing that is definitely a good thing, makes you feel secure, is knowing you're on the right train, because that's something I wasn't 100% sure of. I bought the ticket at JFK, and on the ticket, told me everything I needed to know, said even the track number of where we'd be leaving from at the airport, the track number we're arriving at, but still, there's that uncertainty, is this the right train? And there wasn't really anybody to answer that question until just a couple of minutes ago when the conductor came through and I was able to get her to verify that, yes, in fact, this is a train to Leipzig. Because I was hearing announcements saying that train's going to split up, and they do that sometimes. Trains break into two, and one half goes one place, one half goes the other, and I don't want to go to the wrong part of Germany.
Another interesting thing, when we were at the station, we were having a nice break in between. We had plenty of time to catch it, and we were misled a little bit. First of all, the airport had a sign that said, to the train stations, there's many of them. You pointed that out. And after we had been there for a little bit, we started making our way towards what we thought were the trains. It ended up being several buildings away, like basically walking to the other end of an airplane terminal from the airport to the other side. Then, of course, our track number is the furthest track number away in another section. And when we got there, we couldn't figure out how to, you know, it wasn't clear exactly how to get down there.
There are certain givens. I've noticed this every time I travel. My gate at an airport is always going to be the furthest one away. The guy sitting in front of me is always going to be the first person to recline his seat. All right, and things like that. And so many things like that happen. And yeah, the same thing happened with the train here. We thought we were just a few steps away, and actually we were like a mile away. But we made it to the platform literally 1 minute before the train arrived.
Had the timing been tighter, we would have really been hurting. We would have missed it. And then, of course, the train didn't stop where we were on the platform. It stopped 30 yards away because we're, you know, not locals and we don't know the exact place where it stops and didn't have time to research all that.
That train was deceptive. It did say it would stop at that part of the platform, and it didn't. But, you know, the thing is, we could get on any train because the ticket we have will work on any train. What surprised me, though, was that this one, you don't have to switch in the city. Like, I thought you'd have to go to the main Frankfurt station and switch to a train to Leipzig, but apparently this train goes directly from the airport to Leipzig, so that worked out really well for us.
Yeah, we're actually going via Dresden.
I think Dresden comes after.
Not via, but I mean, the route is to Dresden.
And we know this because we drove what did we do? We drove to Leipzig and Dresden, or did we drive to Leipzig and then take a train to Dresden? I think we did one of those a few years ago, so I know that one follows the other. So
I think we drove to Dresden, and then we dropped the car off and left by train.
Okay, yeah, we did something like that. They're not far from each other. Mm-hmm. But anyway, point is, we made it. It's Tuesday. We're in Germany. The conference starts tomorrow, and we're looking forward to that. And
we're starting to figure out everything. What happens is you start having to know certain things. And when you get to the conference, it's too late. You have to do your research before, because otherwise you end up at the event wandering around and you feel like everybody else knows what's going on and where everything is, but you're the one that doesn't have the information. So we have to scour through their info and wikis and all the pertinent details, like where things are, what times they'll be at, do we need to go and register, because there's the lines I brought up earlier, and all those little details. But we've ended up with plenty of time. We arrived an hour early on our flight.
Yeah, that's the thing. Our flight landed an hour before it was supposed to. We're on a train that's going to get to Leipzig directly, so we'll be there at like 2 in the afternoon. I figured we'd be there at like 6. So we'll have plenty of time to figure things out and wander over and get our tickets or whatever we need to do. But, you know, there's always going to be a lot of confused people anyway, so I don't think we have to worry about being the only ones who will be confused. I'm sure there'll be many. But the important thing is just to have a sense of what's going on. The schedule looks amazing. And folks at home, you can follow the schedule, too, events.ccc.de. We'll have all 4 days, and you can watch the talks. The whether it's in English or in German, you can watch all the talks, and it's like you're coming with us.
Yep. Yeah. Just search like 34C3 stream.
Yes. Now, you know, we'll have a talk too. I think on the last day we're going to be talking about our conference coming up next July, the Circle of Hope.
A bunch of American hackers will be presenting and talking about the virtues of coming to New York City and seeing how we do things, and hearing from speakers who will be presenting for us. So it's great to see, get a little sense of things here, but also bring the New York and American hacker spirit to this event. So that'll be a 5-minute or 10-minute talk. I believe it's 5 minutes.
Yeah, but we might stretch it out a little bit. Who knows? Our friend Bill might be on this train. I don't know. We met him at JFK, and basically he is going to talk on the last day, the 30th, I believe. So look for the talk on crossing borders, and that'll be interesting as well. We'll be watching that talk. How's it feel to be back in Europe?
Relaxing. I don't feel as stressed. I think the frenzy and the sort of distraction level definitely was at a crescendo in back home. So I'm not so nostalgic for any of that. And actually, I don't know. I find I wander. I look at things. I wonder, you know, why is there grass planted at the electrical substations? You know, is that something we would never allow in our country because of code? Like, substations all have to have gravel. Just here, you know, Germans do it well enough that they have grass and stuff. I don't know.
One thing I noticed flying in, just looking down at the houses, they have what's known as cluster housing. And that basically is a bunch of houses in one area, and then greenery for like maybe 4/5 of the rest of the area, and then more houses. So basically you have developments, I guess, surrounded by grass, mountains, forest, you name it. And it's just a much healthier environment, you know. You have wildlife, you have vegetation. And that's something we don't seem to be able to get a handle on back home. I really wish we would focus on that some more.
Yeah, so I think civil engineering and, like, planning aren't our strong suits. I think it's a side effect of not having as much of a history. We do have villages and stuff, but there's also this sort of sense of, like, this sort of plantation era where, you know, that combined with the sort of rugged individualism that we're known for, that like pioneer ethos, basically keeps people really far away from their neighbors and not in these sort of traditional villages that probably have hundreds of years of history in some of these areas where we just don't in the U.S. And it's much more frenetic and hurried and less historically significant and storied. We just haven't had a time, and we've been working and capitalizing ever since.
Well, that's pretty much going to do it for us tonight, because we've filled the whole hour with our travel. Now we've arrived at our destination. Well, we haven't arrived at the station yet, but we're in the country, and as Kyle said, it is relaxing just being here. Things just work. You know, you don't have to know the language to know the system, and that's how we were able to get on the train and figure the whole thing out, and without getting anybody to tell us we're doing the right thing. And that's how a lot of systems work when you travel. And we plan on doing a lot of interesting things in the next few weeks, going to some interesting places. And again, if you're in a country in the eastern part of Europe, say, Hungary, maybe Romania, maybe even Moldova, please write to us, and maybe we'll stop by your village. otw@2600.com is our email address. And we're also going to be stopping in Iceland on the way back in the winter, so that's going to be fun. Sounds like we have an announcement coming through on the train, or someone's just leaning on the microphone. But we're pretty much out of time, though. We have to yield to the next program. We'll be talking about the Chaos Congress tomorrow night on Off the Hook on WBAI. And, of course, next week as well, we'll have some summations here on Off the Wall. So far everything has gone well, and we're here on the other side of the world without having any sleep. And it feels like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Very exciting. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'll have all kinds of observations and stories to tell.
Nothing like a holiday, a winter holiday.
They came back from the moon today. One of the parachutes didn't open. Tourists are swarming over the Alps. They shuffle by, write postcards, lick ice cream, sit around the bandstand, show their suntan, load their caravan. The dollar is climbing, the dollar is falling. Our furniture has been in storage for over a year now. Where does one belong? Lazy days, your days. August time, not my time. Lazy days, your days. August time, not my time. Hate this weary, dreary holiday time. Hate this weary, dreary holiday time. You go for a walk, read the papers. Slaughter in Pakistan, slaughter on the Autobahn, a plane crashed. Politicians are cooling their heels. In Munich, there'll be a beer festival. They had a bank robbery, police shot the hostage. Olympic Games next year. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Eight or ten boys standing there near the funicular. They're bored. So bored they start throwing stones. They aim close to the girl's legs, the girl's head. Eight or ten boys who've never seen war. Healthy, wealthy, jet-set babies throwing stones on the third morning of the Aquarian millennium. The Aegis beneficiaries are howling at the Alps. Incensed dissenters still breathing the polluted air of their father's industry. The dollar's climbing. The dollar's falling. Inflation, stagflation. Yes, yes, I know you know. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Hate this weary, dreary holiday time. Hate this weary, dreary holiday time. Christina, 3 years old, is playing her records. A mouse is running up the clock, and the wind is making the cradle rock. Christina, 3 years, won't be hearing much about the man on the moon. Somebody has reliable information that a new wave is about to engulf the one we had. They're all against it and threatened with dire consequences. But this needn't be as unsettling as you might think. If you take to your bed on the third morning of the Aquarian age and snooze. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Hate this weary, dreary holiday time. Hate this weary, dreary holiday time. Christina is sleeping in the cool of the mountains. Not so far from the heat of New York, which comes to us across a shrinking sea. Dawning. Third morning of the Aquarian millennium. What have we got to offer you apart from our holiday time?
Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not my time. Lazy days, Leo days, August time, not